Character notes. Jim Corrigan. Jim Corrigan started, as most of the characters in Tempest Investigations did, as a character in a role-playing game I played with my friends. Jim was a very different person from the character in the books at first. He was essentially a variation of Connor MacLeod from Highlander. A world-weary loner who had lived throughout the centuries and had an attitude a mile wide. I liked the idea of him being a chain smoker, because hey, if it's not going to kill you, why not? So I added that part. And being based off Highlander meant he had to have a sword. So of course he did. A large, broadsword-style blade that he kept under his cotton coat. I imagined him looking a bit like a young George Clooney, with the same devil-may-care smile. Later on, when I first watched Firefly, I immediately found out I was wrong. Jim looked like Nathan Fillion, right down to the eyebrows going up, the chin, and the set determined jaw when he's upset. The game we played grew and developed, and we played scenarios based on various famous books or movies. Our game master did a lot for our characters to interact, and in doing so, they grew more defined. One of the characters, a waitress at a local Mexican restaurant that our characters ate at, turned out to become a very important part of the story. She was never even supposed to be named, but in true TV show style, she just fit right in. Mercedes Perez was born and joined up with the group. While we played, we wrote a little bunch of snippets of fan fiction about the characters. Some of them were novelizations of the gaming sessions, and others were original material. Some of them were also written to affect the story a little bit, shape it the way we want it. For the obsessive fans, you can actually find some of these stories on fanfiction.net, filed under the username MrWriter1701, my old screen name. Just remember that they don't fit into the chronology of the novels, although I've reused bits and pieces from them, most noticeably the main plots for the stories We Need a Tempest Christmas and Clash of the Titans in Season 2. But even while writing these stories, I was wondering if it wouldn't be possible to alter these characters, to work as something aimed at the outside reader, instead of just our little group. To do so meant I had to make some alterations. I couldn't make Jim a Highlander, as there would be some hefty copyright violations right there. Other characters in the group were based on various other franchises, so I knew I had to go in from the ground up and rebuild them to fit my new narrative. Jim changed and became a younger immortal. He was now born in the year 1900 and became immortal in the year 1933, making him eternally 33 years old. I was 33 at the time I made the decision, and it made sense at the time to give him my own physical age. He became a cop from Chicago, and his death, originally the result of an attack by a vampire, became a gangster hit. In my original background, Jim had been trained by another immortal, a Spanish woman named Gabriela. But in this new version, he had to figure everything out for himself. I set about writing a new story. The first attempt, written in my native Danish, saw Jim Corrigan, an immortal private eye, coming to the small California city of Paradise Hills to investigate some mysterious deaths. He was summoned there by a message from a teenage girl, Mercedes Perez, who was noticing a strange change in the people in her city. They've suddenly become emotionless and robotic, and a number of strange deaths happen. When he got there, Jim discovered that it all tied into an old magic Spanish sword buried in a tomb of a conquistador in the hills around town, and the magic taking over people's minds. It all tied into the evil Waite Corporation, which I had intended to be the main villain of the story. If you think the above sounds a little familiar, it's because it's bordering on plagiarism for Dean Koontz's book Midnight. When I read the text through to recap it here, I can't believe I didn't see it at the time, and I'm glad I never finished it. The second attempt made Jim Corrigan an immortal former policeman, trying to solve the crimes of a vampire in San Francisco. Along the way, he would meet the waitress Mercedes, and the German wizard, Herbert Schmidt, another character from the game. The beginning of this attempt survived into the pages of How Like a Fallen Angel, the first episode of season one. The investigation of the dead body in the dumpster, although here she had been attacked by a vampire known as the Count Killer, and Jim comparing her to an angel was there, as well as Andrew, who in this draft was Jim's partner all from the beginning, being the high-tech person he was. However, Jim himself was a lot different. For one thing, he had lived in the city his whole life, essentially changing his name and becoming his own son every 40 years or so. So when he refers to something that happened in the 1980s, it would be, "My father was part of this investigation." For another, this version of Jim uses high-tech weapons, communications, and is substantially more up-to-date than the final version we ended up with. He was really more like a character on Buffy the Vampire Slayer than an immortal, referring to pop culture, joking with Andrew, and doing an endless battle with the city's vampires, who were terrified of him and called him the Killer. A bit of this vampire story ended up showing up in season three. The story was good, but I had a problem. I wanted to include all the characters from my gaming group, but there was one specific character, the before-mentioned Herbert the Wizard, that I just couldn't get to fit in. Every time I started writing him into the story, I didn't know where to take it, and it died on me. Eventually, I decided to cut him entirely, and just have Jim and Mercedes as the main characters, but upgrade Mercedes from random encounter to full-time employee from the start. I also decided to change Jim's background from San Francisco cop to Chicago cop, and give him the ability to see and talk to spirits. That way, I reasoned, it will give the story a different feel than the Buffy-style second attempt. When I started the third and final draft of the story, I ended up with How Like a Fallen Angel, and I actually liked it quite a bit. I was at the time writing a collection of novellas, which would eventually be published under the title Between Above and Below, and I considered including it in the book. It would be a sort of pilot, a test run to see if people liked Jim. Doing so, however, would make the book not only very long, but also change the dynamic of the book. I'd also got an idea for a second story, which would introduce Andrew. And I figured that if you brought a book that started with episode two, you would be annoyed. I decided to make an entire season, four episodes, to truly embrace the TV show format, which I come up with in the meantime. A book written like fan fiction, but an original story. Dialogue heavy, light on descriptions, moving at a pace like a Netflix show. I set to work, and the rest is history. Jim Corrigan is essentially an ideal version of myself. He is smart, athletic, handsome, graceful, takes very limited amounts of crap from anyone, and of course knows some of the answers to life and death that we all wonder about. He can talk to the dead and knows there is something after death. He can perform great heroic acts and rarely worry if it will kill him, since he will regenerate almost every wound. But at the same time, Jim is me in other ways as well. There's a sensitivity to him, which I've learned to appreciate over the years, and which shows up more and more in the stories. He loves his city and his friends, and even though he's probably the oldest person on the planet, he can fall in love like a schoolboy with a teacher crush. Andrew Picard. As I mentioned before, Andrew has always been a former FBI agent and the tech guy of Tempest. He's gone through several versions, but in the end, I chose the outdoorsy, handsome man instead of the geekier tech wizard. Andrew is the balance to Jim. He's procedure and youthful enthusiasm against Jim's experience. He was also meant as the romantic lead, and when I began the book, I had actually considered pairing him up with Mercedes. However, when Feline, based on another roleplay character, showed up, it was obvious that they should be together, as they had been in the original game. The Andrew the player had created was a darker character than my Andrew. He made deals with demons, sought power in various ways, and made a lot of money off of shady internet deals. I decided to strip him down to his core and make him the character I needed, the young and handsome action hero. Andrew, to me, has always looked a bit like a 30-year-old Brad Pitt with long hair. He is physically strong and muscular, his skin tanned from being outside so much. Even though he's a perfectly ordinary human, he's able to take on a lot of the supernatural at face value, mostly because of what happened to his sister, but also because he just has an open mind. Andrew helps people. That is his motivation, and some might even say his reason for living. He joined the FBI to find his sister, but there was nothing else there for him. Working for, and eventually running, Tempest Investigations is his proper place. I would have liked to see Andrew find love again, but Feline was a tough act to follow, and I think he might end up being single for a long time. Of course, now we know that there's an alternate Andrew out there who actually did get to stay with Feline, although he himself will never find out. Mercedes Perez. Mercedes started in the first story as Jim's foil, the character to talk to and help explain to the reader what's going to happen in a dialogue instead of a long monologue. This is often used when turning books into movies or TV shows, because a story told in the first person gets boring if it's just told in voiceover on screen. And I wanted to add to the TV show feel. She also worked very well as the voice of the reader, commenting if something is disgusting, stupid, or simply noticing things that the hero doesn't. She also acted as a plausible anchor for Jim, someone to keep him tethered to this modern time that he felt so alone in. When I wrote the little story about how they met, I had no idea how important the werewolf attack would end up being so many years later. But it seemed plausible that she had joined him after getting a glimpse behind the curtain and into the world of the supernatural. Mercedes is a beautiful young woman, but the kind of woman who doesn't necessarily see herself as gorgeous. She's a little insecure, and she appreciates the attention from men, even when that attention is a catcall or a wolf whistle. But she's a sweet and caring person and wants to meet someone special. And eventually she does. I hope her romantic arc was plausible enough to my readers. The moment I introduced Charlie, I knew that I wanted them to get married at the end of the show. I've always seen Mercedes looking like Vanessa Hudgens of High School Musical fame when she was in her early 20s. Her smile and laugh are perfect for Mercedes. Feline Swarovski. Feline came into our gaming group a bit later, and appropriately enough, I didn't introduce her until halfway through the first season. Being a non-human character made her very fun to write, and she is probably the character that's closest to the original versions in our game. Feline sees the world much like a child, or indeed a cat. If you want something, you take it. If you're tired, you sleep. If you have something on your mind, you say it. And if you're bored, you don't listen to what people say. Putting her in that story allowed me to make some genuinely fun moments, and it also allowed me to have someone on the team with superpowers that could be used more offensively. Feline is also incredibly selfish, and putting her in a romantic relationship was fun to write. It also allowed for a dramatic and violent scene in season 2 when she's killed off. It allowed me to darken Andrew's character a little, and it came as a consequence of a review I got for season 1. A reviewer told me that because none of the main characters died, he couldn't take the book seriously. This was as the height of Game of Thrones' popularity, and suddenly everybody in a popular show needed to die. I countered that if you're watching a regular show, most of the time you expect the cast to be back from week to week. But he could not be convinced. Hence, I decided to have a death in season 2, and one that would make an impact. Feline is the exact opposite of Mercedes. She cares only for herself, well, most of the time. She's vain, and she knows she's pretty. She loves to wear flashy jewelry, and Even her own father, Darcy, isn't someone she has a lot of feelings for. She pays him part of her salary, but we always get the expression that it's more out of an obligation than a desire to help him out. I adored Feline, and bringing her back in season 3, even if only for a single episode, was something that meant a lot to me. She and Andrew traveling in time is one of my favorite parts of season 3. I've always imagined Feline looking a lot like Nicole Kidman when she was younger. Her eyes and facial structure always struck me as cat-like. Bob was a side character that grew bigger and eventually demanded more space. He was slightly inspired by the host in the show Angel, a karaoke singing demon with green skin. I knew Jim needed a place to come for information about the supernatural underworld, and the concept of the Convergence Club was something we had in our original game. I took it and altered it to fit my needs. I made Bob a happier and more cheerful bartender than the original devil we'd used. Having a series set in San Francisco and not have a single gay character seemed unrealistic. And I always knew Bob was gay, but it wasn't until the last season I found the opportunity to really introduce it. I knew that he was profoundly lonely, even though he talks to people every single day behind his bar. He has an ear for everyone, but no one has one for him. I wanted him to get out of his bar and live a little, and in season 3, I got that chance. As I said, he was really only meant as a source of information, and his bar a place to go and mingle. But eventually he grew on me, so much that I actually had him temporarily join up with the team in the last part of season 2. Bob doesn't like violence, but he will come at you if you piss him off. And I hope I showed that when he joined his expedition to the spirit world. Bob has in my head always been played by Channing Tatum, painted entirely red and with horns and contact lenses. I wonder if I could get him to do that. Rhea Weston. Rhea was originally a random side person in our game, an antagonist who was supposed to steal something from us and who would turn out to work for the main villain. When I put her in my version of the story, I had her working for Anderson Kramer as well, but not willingly, and ready to betray him at a moment's notice. Rhea was always in my mind intended as Jim's new love interest, someone who was also extraordinary and who could understand what it was like to live with a superpower. I also wanted her to show a little bit of the power corrupts idea, which came into play in season 2. Her duel with Kronos is probably my favorite part of that season, and it's the scene I had the most fun writing. I've always enjoyed fictionally destroying places that I've visited. I thought long and hard about what would happen to Rhea when she finally gave in to her powers and used them to the full extent. I didn't want to do a Jean Grey / Dark Phoenix ripoff, but I wanted to show how it can damage a person to use your powers for something evil. In the end, I came to the conclusion that Rhea would grow and learn from the experience and gain a better understanding of her powers as well as her feelings for Jim. Hence her return in season 3. Rhea looks like Terry Farrell, and always has, from the first moment I thought her up. She is, at least to me, the perfect picture of a strong and confident woman who also knows how to kick ass and take names. Matt Boyle. Matt is the newest arrival in the Tempest universe, and like so many of the others, he also started life as a role-playing character. The concept that battles in online role-playing games and battles in real life would be equal qualifications to become chosen for superpowers always cracks me up. And I suppose it appeals to a lot of people out there as well. The first season of Tempest Investigations, there were a new character introduced in every episode. But in season 2, there wasn't that same feeling of new people coming in, even though Huyana showed up. I want to go back to the beginning a little bit and reintroduce the team through the eyes of a newcomer. Matt was the obvious choice. He's a geek, but at the same time likable. He's insecure, But at the same time, he has the potential to tap into real superpowers. And he's coming to terms with his new life in a very short time, as most of this book takes place over about a month. Matt was a gamble to put into the story. I figured either people would love him or hate him. But my test audience was overwhelmingly positive about him. It's hard being the new kid on the block in the last season. But my hope is that Matt will become a cornerstone in the new Tempest Investigations and help Andrew and Mercedes run the company in a good way. He was unlike most of the other characters, but he earned his place with the team. Matt, to me, has always looked a little geeky without being full-on nerd. Someone like Troy Sivan would be perfect. I hope you've enjoyed reading this peek behind the curtain. If you have any questions or comments about the books, you're always welcome to visit my website, www.klausholm.net, or my Facebook or Instagram page.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.